You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Hey, this is our friend, Pastor Ed. I know I've been sharing this for the last few weeks, but Pastor Greg and I had the incredible opportunity to get to meet Ed back in March. Mm-hmm. At the we went to an ARC conference, a church planting conference, and we really felt like it was a God connection that God made between Ed and us. Absolutely. And so Ed is from Gateway Church. We were just talking about the Blessed Life. He is from that church. He served on staff for 15 years, mm-hmm. and he is just gifted by God to help churches accomplish the vision or the dream that God has put in their heart. So we are excited to welcome him here. We're excited for him to pour into us today. Amen? Yeah, come on. Would you give him a welcome one more time? Make him feel at home.
Thank you, Pastor. You're awesome. Love you too. Thank you. Well, good morning. I want to make sure. Can you hear me? Oh, wonderful. I'm on, and I wanted to make sure that I'd not push the wrong button. Hey, what a privilege to be here. I have to make a confession. If you don't mind, I'm just going to begin with a confession. I'm in love. Not only am I in love, but my wife, Bethany. Bethany, would you stand? I want to just honor my wife who traveled with me this weekend. This is Bethany. The two of us are absolutely in love. We're in love with Newton, Kansas. We're in love with the Fox Theater. We're in love with The Gathering and with the leadership of this great church. And as I greeted so many of you this morning, as you arrived maybe a little bit before the service, I went around and shook a number of hands. We really feel at home among you. And I want to say this, if you're a guest here today and you've not made this your church home, if you don't have a church home, can I just recommend this one? I want to tell you, if our family lived anywhere near this place, we would be here as often as possible. I'm captured by the vision. I'm captured by the integrity of the leadership here, the passion they have for Jesus, whom my wife and I both love very much, and he has transformed our lives. And if you're in need of a transformation, I can recommend Jesus could be one who could do that for you as well. It is an honor to be here. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for the help that you've been to me as I've prepared to come. Thank you, Pastor Brandon, for allowing me to minister today and to speak this weekend. We've had a great time. We arrived Friday and had a wonderful dinner at the Knowles home with a number of leaders and heard a lot of great stories. And then yesterday morning, I taught for several hours right here at the front of the auditorium, the theater, with a number of leaders. And then last night, a great dinner with these two amazing couples that lead your church and their spouses. It was just fantastic. And then today, what a privilege to be able to speak to you. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to two passages of Scripture. The primary text today is Isaiah 61. This will be familiar if you've been in church a little while, and if not, it'll be a great passage for you to become familiar with today. Isaiah 61, put a marker then at Jeremiah 29. So those two passages, both Old Testament, Isaiah 61, Jeremiah 29. And while you're finding your way and maybe marking those in the Bible, I just want to bring you greetings from my home church, from Pastor Robert Morris, from the leadership at Gateway. It is always a great privilege for us to be partnering with and be in relationship with great churches around the country. Can I just tell you again, I know I've gone overboard just to make my love for your church known. There's something very, very special going on right here within your church. This is uncommon. It is unique. The worship this morning, absolutely amazing. What a great worship team you have here. I'm always encouraged when I see young leaders like Jordan, and I saw Ashley, and then all the others that were serving alongside them, and you could tell they weren't just leading songs. They were connecting with God. They were leading us to worship and have interaction with the wonderful Holy Spirit who is with us today. So thank you, worship team and church. I believe it's going to be a good morning. I feel encouraged to speak to you today. So the beginning of the message is a little bit odd, so bear with me. I promise I have good news for you today. But let me tell you something I've observed. I'm older than I look, let me just tell you that, but I've been in vocational ministry for 35 years. And during the course of that time, I've discovered something that really troubles me, it puzzles me, and here's what I've found. Many, many people, some of the saddest, most depressed and unfulfilled people on earth are Christians. These are people who regularly attend church. Many of them pray. They read their Bible. They offer tithes and offerings. They serve in the church. They seemingly know all the disciplines of the Christian faith. But if you were to examine their lives closely, what you might discover is that many of them are living defeated lives. Many of them are not living the joy-filled, abundant life that John 10:10 references. And that actually was Jesus making that statement. And I would just say to you that because of their misery, because of their defeated position here, they have very little positive influence on their lost non-Christian neighbors, co-workers, friends, and family members. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning to hear Mr. Encouragement? I promise I do have encouraging news, but I want to kind of have that as a backdrop for the message today. What I just said is truth, whether we want it to be or not. This is common in church after church after church, in city and state, over the nation. There are many discouraged, defeated Christians. And what I want to do today is examine the reason that might be true. And so would you do me a courtesy? Please don't be a distraction to anyone around you. I'm asking you for the next 30 to 35 minutes to give me your undivided attention. And here's why. The person I just described that's living that very defeated life, that person could be seated immediately in front of you, and I want him or her to hear the message today. He or she could be right behind you. He could be to your right. She could be to your left. The person I'm describing may have ridden with you in the car on the way to the Fox Theater this morning. Listen, it could be that the person I'm describing is seated in your chair. And if that's true, this is a message from God to help your life and to help you become an overcomer, to not live this discouraged, defeated life. And so bear with me as we dive in today. One primary question I'm trying to ask and answer, and it's this question: why is this true? Why are there so many defeated, unhappy, and unfulfilled Christians attending church today? There are a variety of reasons why that might be true. I want to focus on what I believe to be the primary reason, and I'm going to give that to you from the start here. The church at large, not necessarily your church or my church, but the church, has only emphasized one of the ministries of Jesus. In other words, Jesus came to do a number of things for us. The church has been guilty of only focusing on one thing, and it's important, and we're going to talk about it today, and it's something that all of us need, but Jesus has a number of things that he's made available to us, and we're going to examine those today in this very familiar passage in Isaiah 61. Now, we'll see when we get there in just a couple of minutes that this is a prophetic picture. This was spoken many years, hundreds of years before Jesus actually came to earth, and Isaiah, under the influence of the Spirit of God, was prophesying. He was declaring and forecasting what would be true of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, when he was to come. And we're going to examine everything that he saw and he prophesied. But before we get there, I want to reference one other scripture, and you'll see in just a moment how it dovetails and ties in perfectly to the primary text today. So maybe homework for you, if you don't mind. I'll be Professor Ed, you be students, but just jot down, if you're a note taker, John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, over in the New Testament, one of the Gospels, John chapter 17, we see what is referenced by theologians as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. In my opinion, it is the most beautiful prayer ever prayed. It's certainly the most beautiful prayer recorded in the Bible. And I want to give you context of why I think that. This is in the last hours of Jesus' life. If you were to pick up in John 13, you see where he met with his disciples, and one of his last interactions with them is he humbled himself and he washed his disciples' dirty feet. Do you remember this story? So in John 13, we see that. 14, 15, and 16 is what is known as the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. This is where he dined and had fellowship with his disciples. And it was there that he told them what was coming. And they really didn't want to believe it, although he had been acknowledging this for some time. This was kind of just the last hours before he was to be crucified. So then we come to 17, which I'm going to reference in a moment. In 18, the next chapter, this is where Jesus journeyed into the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was there that Luke records, I think in chapter 22, that he prayed so intensely and he grieved so deeply that he actually, while praying, was sweating drops of blood, all while his disciples who were with him had fallen asleep. And that's when he asked the question, could you not tarry with me? Could you not stay and pray with me for just 1 hour? And because he was so troubled in spirit. So this prayer is encompassed in this amazing last hours of Jesus' life. And here's the beginning of the prayer, John 17, verse 4. I'm going to reference one verse. I want you to read the whole chapter this week. But in John 17, verse 4, here's what Jesus prayed. Father, I have brought you glory here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus prayed as he concluded his life before he would be crucified, Father, I have brought you glory here on earth. So let me just ask here at the gathering in Newton, Kansas, how many of you would also desire with your life to bring glory to God the Father? Is anybody here along with me wanting to glorify God, to bring glory to God with his or her life? And Jesus shows us how by completing the work that he had been given to do. And listen to me, in the same way that God had an assignment on Jesus' life, and we're going to examine what that was here in Isaiah 61, the work that he completed, in the same way, everyone in this room, old and young, men and women, new to church, having been in church a long time, every person in this room has an assignment from God on your life. And we cannot fulfill that assignment. We can't carry out. We will never be able to pray this wonderful prayer unless we fully understand what Jesus accomplished and apply that to our lives. And so in this wonderful passage here in Isaiah 61, flip there with me now, Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, I'm going to share with you this prophetic word from Isaiah. He says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, let me just say this. All of us are going to do much better if we live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so Isaiah here, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, he begins to speak of something that was to come many years later, describing Jesus. And how do I know that? If you want to write it in your margin, in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21, you see the story where Jesus went to the temple, and when handed the scroll and asked to read, he read this passage from Isaiah, and then he sat down and said, today this has been fulfilled in your presence. He claimed for the first time there in Luke chapter 4 that he was the Messiah, and it somewhat blew their minds. So what did he read? So here's what Isaiah, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, was saying. He has chosen me, he has anointed or appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to minister recovery of sight to the blind, to preach the freedom to the captives, to set at liberty those who are bruised, and finally, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now listen, church, as we walk through all six of these items on Jesus's job description, here's what you need to ask. Have I experienced and applied all of these to my life? If you recall, the foundation of the message is there are many defeated, discouraged Christians because we've only applied one of Jesus's ministries to our life. And we're going to see all of them today. And if you will, by faith, receive and apply these to your life, I'm telling you, you'll be well on your way to accomplishing the purpose of God for your own life. So let's continue. What are the six items? The very first listed here in this passage, one by one, we'll walk through the first. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. Listen, preaching the gospel leads to the first ministry of Jesus, salvation. Now, I want to address briefly, before I dive into this, I want to address this prepositional phrase, to the poor. Certainly, we talked about this yesterday with the leadership. All churches, all of us should be reaching out and ministering to the poor, to those who are less fortunate, to those who have poverty-stricken lives. That is certainly part of the message here. But can I tell you this? If you're a wealthy person, if your wallet is packed with money today, if your bank account is full, if your retirement account is full, if you're a woman and you have a purse and you have more money than you can spend, listen, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, can I tell you something? You're poor. And so this is to be applied to all of our lives, not just those who are financially poor, but certainly to those who are financially poor. So here we see Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. I believe this is the one ministry of Jesus that the church does well. We do a good job of preaching the gospel, of declaring that Jesus is the only way to God. How many of you know there's not a number of ways? There's one way, and His name is Jesus. We must come through Christ in order to have a relationship with Heavenly Father God. And so salvation, in my opinion, is the greatest miracle anyone in this room, outside this room, will ever experience, will ever encounter. You see, a person could be physically healed and still spend eternity separated from God in hell when they die, because the Bible is so clear, we must be born again. Salvation is wonderful, it is necessary, it is essential, very important. We could go on and on describing how significant salvation is, but we also have to understand that salvation alone will not solve all of the problems that we face while we're here on earth. You see, Jesus died to make many things available to us. When a church only emphasizes salvation, we cheapen the death of Christ. You see, He wants to do more than just get us to heaven. He wants to help us this side of heaven while we're right here struggling on earth. And so we need to be born again, but we also need these other ministries of Jesus to be applied to our lives. So let's continue through this wonderful job description that the Father gave to His Son, Jesus. The second item listed here, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came to minister emotional healing, to minister to us inner healing. Has anyone other than me ever experienced a broken heart? Is there anyone here today that's, you know what, Ed, I've had a broken heart. Yeah. Is it possible, no need to raise your hand, is it possible that some came to church today, maybe many, with a broken heart? There are circumstances beyond your ability. There's pain in your life that you cannot personally fix. If you're here today and your heart is broken, listen to me, there's good news. In Psalm 34, verse 18, here's what the Bible says. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. This is good news. And He saves those who are crushed in spirit. I believe personally that the greatest need in any church is for God to heal the broken hearts of those who already have a relationship with Him. The great majority of people who come to church have been born again. Not all, but the great majority have made that first commitment to Christ. But listen, many of us live our lives with broken hearts, and we need to see today that God, through Christ, has made available to us inner healing, emotional healing, help for those who are crushed in spirit, help for those who have broken hearts. Listen, if that describes you today, at the conclusion of the message, we're going to pray for each and every ministry of Jesus to be fully applied. Today could be a day that your broken heart is healed. The third item on this job description that God gave His Son, Jesus, Jesus came to minister recovery of sight to the blind. This is a clear reference to physical healing. I'm absolutely puzzled by, bothered by, concerned about bad theology that exists in the great majority of mainline evangelical churches all over our country that would suggest that physical healing, as well as the other power gifts of the Holy Spirit, ceased and are no longer needed now that the church has been fully established since the beginning of the second century. And can I just say, there's a big word for that in seminaries all over. It's called cessationism. The gifts have ceased. Listen, it cannot be supported in the Bible, nor can it be supported historically. It's just simply not true. God still is in the business of physical healing. If you're here today and you have a diagnosis over your life, I want you to know that God is not in heaven this morning, nervous, wiping his brow, hoping that the little guy from Texas will move to the next point. God is very capable of helping you today by ministering physical healing to your body. Whether you have cancer or a common cold, God is able to touch and heal your body. It would be true for anyone that you love that is dealing with a really challenging medical issue. Physical healing is available to us today. In Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, bless the Lord, O my soul. Listen and forget not all his benefits. Can I just tell you, we're prone to forget. And God is wanting to remind us, there are many things that I've made available. He continues here in verse 3. He forgives all our sin. There's the first ministry of Jesus, salvation being offered through Christ. And it continues, he heals all our diseases. Physical healing is available to you today. So we see that he came to save us, salvation, that he ministered inner healing, emotional healing. We see that he ministers physical healing. What's the fourth item on his job description? Well, Jesus came to preach freedom to the captive, freedom from bondage, freedom from addiction, freedom from unhealthy life patterns. You know, you can be in bondage to many things. It really could be one of the taboo sins of our culture. We're all familiar with things like drug addiction and alcoholism. More recently, something that has surfaced, pornography. And can I tell you, all of these, drug addiction, alcoholism, pornography, these are things that are rampant. They're common both within and outside the church. See, just walking through the doors of a church on a regular basis doesn't make us immune to addictive lifestyle. Many who come to church need to be freed from patterns of sin, from bondages and addictions. And today could be the day that God does that in your life or in the life of someone that you love. You may say, Ed, you know, thank you. That's a good list. I'm doing really well in the areas you just described. But before I scoot to the next point, let me ask you this. Could it be that while you're doing well there, you're someone who might struggle with insecurity? Insecurity is something that plagues your lives. You really find your identity in your performance. As a husband or a father, as a wife, as a mother, as an employer, as an employee, whatever your role might be, if you perform really, really well, things are going well, no arguments, all the bills are paid, whatever it is that makes you feel successful, you feel really good and close to God. But on those days when life is challenging and you're not doing so well and you're responding poorly, you feel lesser than you should. You feel unloved. You feel like maybe God is really disappointed in you. Listen to me. Good news for all of us today. God's love for everyone in this room is completely unconditional. It is not based on how well you perform. The truth is, we'll never perform well enough to earn God's love. It is a gift that we receive. And today, God wants to extend his love to you by offering you freedom. He wants to help you not live in bondage to this identity crisis. He wants you to have victory over this way of thinking that you have to perform well enough to be in right relationship with him. I'm so grateful for a number of encounters that I've had with God over the years. I remember all the way back in the early 1980s, 1982, about this time, I began, I was really struggling. I was a college student who was stacking bad decision upon bad decision. Has anybody ever been there? I mean, a number of bad decisions. I have several, and I'm not proud of this. It's just my story from yesteryear. A number of arrests, a couple of felony arrests. I was a disaster before I gave my life to Christ. But at age 21, from a jail cell, really frightened by some of the circumstances I was experiencing, I cried out to God and asked for His help. And you know what? Instantly, He helped me. And God will save anyone who calls upon His name, who is sincere and desiring His help and wanting to experience life change. And I'm telling you, God did a work in my life 35 years ago, 36 years ago. It's been a while. And in addition to that wonderful encounter when I was born again, several years later, now that I'm married to my precious Bethany, by the way, we're about to celebrate 30 years together, and I did a really good thing there by marrying this woman. But after we got married, it exposed a lot of junk in my life. I was quite broken, even though I'd been walking with the Lord, been serving the Lord as a pastor for a number of years. And so I'm so grateful that I encountered God in such a way that I was baptized with the Holy Spirit in 1989. I was 29 years old, and God did a great work in my life, and I'm so thankful. Around it was right at 1990 when I had this great encounter with the Lord and activated the Holy Spirit in my life and really began to see life change there. But without question, the most dynamic and the greatest behavioral change to ever take place in my life took place only 14 years ago. I was already on staff at Gateway, the church we've referenced earlier, and the church was growing. It was one of the most influential and fastest growing churches in the country. And because I'd gotten there early on, I was a significant key leader in the church, and I was in a really difficult place. There was something in my life that no one really knew about, and I'd managed to kind of keep it hidden for a long, long time. And so after another episode where finally in the wrong environment, I just had an absolute meltdown, and I had it with my boss, another pastor at Gateway, a well-known, significant leader of a very large church now in our nation. And he was a good friend, a neighbor, but he picked in an area that I asked him to stay away from, and it turned ugly. So in a matter of moments, what was a friendly, silly conversation turned into me manifesting in raging, maniacal anger, dragging my boss across the desk, about to punch him in the face. I remember his eyes being quite large. And by the way, I'm not a large guy, but you know what? Rage is a crazy thing, is it not? And I had been able always to hide that from most everyone, sadly not from my wife. I'd never physically done anything like that with her, but emotionally just erupting from time to time with both she and with my sons. And on this day, I was required, thank God, rather than fire me, which I could have deserved there, He began to work with me. He embraced me, prayed over me, and apologized for having provoked me in the way that He did. But He said, Ed, you cannot be a pastor here and respond in that way. There's something incredibly out of order, and we need to get you help. Gateway paid for me to go see a licensed professional, spirit-filled counselor. And in the office of that counselor, for the first time in my life, I was 43 years old, I told a story that Bethany did not even know about having been terribly sexually abused in a children's home between ages 5 and 8. And it was in that time that I became a fighter. And I can tell you this, when I was 8, it was required in order to protect myself. But at 18, it wasn't so attractive. At 28, it really caused damage in my marriage. By 38, it could have ended our marriage. But God in His kindness, through a gracious leader, got me help. And I experienced inner healing. I experienced emotional healing. I experienced freedom from raging, maniacal, hide the women and the children levels of anger. I mean, what should have gotten this type of response was commonly getting this type of reaction. I was a spirit-filled, love your wife, love your kids, love God, serve people as best I knew how, broken, desperately in need of God's help person. And if that describes anyone in this room, can I tell you something? You don't have to live in anger. It is possible for you to be free. And it may be that you would say, Ed, I'm doing well in the area of anger, but is there another area of your life where you see yourself constantly tripping? And it may not be anger, but it could be another area where you, like me, you had believed a lie that I'll always struggle in this area. I had even made list of, God, you've done this and this and this. I just had a long list. God, thank you for all that you've done, but I guess I'll always struggle with anger. Listen, it's not true. The Bible tells us that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. John 8, verse 36. There's another scripture that says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is in your life, you have the potential, you have the capacity, the opportunity to live a life of complete freedom. So how does that look? Listen, we're in, I love this theater. And this theater, as you can see above, came pre-wired with lighting. Can I tell you, when you accepted Christ, if you have been born again, if you've been saved, if you've invited Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit moved in. And when he moved in, there's an opportunity now for you to activate him in your life. This room would be pitch black dark if somebody had not gone and flipped a switch to turn the lights on. Listen, you're pre-wired with the Holy Spirit. You need to activate him today. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit is fully on display in your life, you can overcome any bondage, any addiction, any broken life pattern that exists that has held you in bondage and in that pattern of sin for many, many years. I hope you're encouraged today. I am so grateful for the freedom that God has produced in my life. I'm not the same person that I was, and you too can be completely different if you'll activate the Holy Spirit in your life. Well, let's continue. There's a fifth item. We're almost done. There's only six on the list. Here's number five. Jesus came to set at liberty those who are, odd word, bruised. Those who are bruised. In my opinion, this is another reference. God is repeating himself. This must be really important. Another reference to inner healing. Another reference to emotional healing. There's a unique verse found the very last verse in the 20th proverb. So I'm one of those guys that reads a proverb a day. It's like an apple a day. It's good for us. It's good medicine. It helps us. There's a lot of wisdom there. And on the 20th day of the month, I always read and laugh about this particular verse. If you read it in the King James, it's really bizarre. Proverb 20, verse 30, it says there, "The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, and so do stripes the inward parts of the belly." Oh my, aren't you glad you came to hear that verse today? That is such a bizarre verse. In a more modern paraphrase, in today's English version, anybody ever see the little, one of the first paperback Bibles ever printed in the 70s, The Good News for Modern Man? Yeah, anybody ever see those? Yeah, and so in that today's English version, it says this, "Sometimes it takes a painful or difficult experience to make us change our ways." Sometimes it takes a painful or a difficult experience to make us change our ways. I can understand that. That makes sense to me. So here's an example of that. How many times do you need to touch a hot stove to know, I don't ever want to do that again? See, most of us, we're pretty quick learners. If we put our finger on the red part of the stovetop, it burns. And we learn quickly, don't ever do that again. We spend a lot of time trying to help grandchildren and our children not do things that could harm them. And sometimes the only way they learn is through a painful experience. Am I right? Yeah. And so this verse is telling us sometimes it just requires that. Listen, I remember a number of years ago, right after we moved from the Houston area, we've only been in two churches in our entire marriage. We served in a church in Houston for 15 years. We moved up and served on the Gateway team for right at 15 years. And as we made our transition north from Houston to Dallas area, our son, Levi, our younger son, who was only five at the time, He was now upstairs in a bedroom a good distance from us, and we had just assembled bunk beds in his room, and we'd maybe been in this new home for 2 weeks. And I remember as if it were yesterday being startled awake one night about 2 a.m. with a shrill cry coming from upstairs. And as parents, you just know your kids' voices. So without really thinking about the best approach, I'm on my feet running pitch black of night, trying to be a good dad to take care of my little boy. I feared possibly he had fallen out of the top bunk and broken his neck. And so I'm running through a new house, unfamiliar with the lay of the furniture. And as I made my way toward the stairs, being super dad, I caught my thigh on the corner of a piano bench that had been left turned out. And if you're curious, instantly I knew that's going to leave a mark. And can I tell you, it did. I had a significant bruise. And by the way, if you're worried about Levi, he's fine. Okay, so I had a significant bruise on my leg, and I hobbled upstairs. And if you're even more curious, I did not quote scripture. And I promise you, when it happened, I did not say, "Praise the Lord." No. You know, if I had more time, maybe I would tell you what I said, but I need to really move forward here. So I hobbled upstairs, and when I found Levi, he was fine. He was already back in the bottom bunk and would soon be fast asleep. But dear old dad was injured, and I really appreciate your compassion this morning. So as I got up early the next morning, it was that one early morning where I had a men's Bible study group at 6 a.m. But on this day, I wore shorts and flip-flops, and I hobbled in hoping all those men would ask, "Oh, Ed, what happened?" None of them had any compassion. No, it's a men's group. So they all had advice, unsolicited, unwanted, unwelcome advice. I mean, I heard things like, "Slow down, life's not an emergency." Here's one: "Don't run in the dark." Thanks, buddy. Really helpful. You know, there was one man that gave me some advice I could use. And guys, you'll love this. He said, "Ed, why don't you stay in bed and let your wife take care of those boys?" That's good. Well, truthfully, that's a funny story, but not all painful experiences in our lives make us laugh. And I'm convinced that there are a number of people who came to the gathering this morning who have experienced intense emotional pain. You may be living with ongoing and chronic physical pain in your body. There are people here who have been abandoned, others abused, neglected, rejected. We could go on and on with a list of pain that has been part of our experience. If any of these are true in your life, listen, church, it's likely that, like me, you have bruises. You see, a bruise in the natural, a bruise is an outward sign. It's an indicator that something on the inside has been wounded. And I'm telling you, many of us have emotional wounds. We have deep pain in our life because of some trauma, some unexpected life event that is overwhelming to us, and we simply don't have, without God's help, we don't have the capacity to process the pain. You have bruises in your life, and the good news is God wants to heal those bruises. It could be that you've been betrayed by an unfaithful spouse. I literally cannot imagine that. Because I'm in ministry, I've sat and visited with a number of couples, even some in ministry, who have experienced that level of pain. It's unimaginable to me. There could be others who have a broken heart because of a wayward child. It could be that you've been fired unjustly by a boss who simply did not believe you and you were telling the truth. It may be that you've been humiliated or embarrassed by a coach when you failed to execute a play and it cost your team some important game some time ago. It may be that you've looked up to a pastor or a spiritual leader at some point in your life whom you later discovered was living a double life. He or she wasn't practicing what he or she was preaching. And as a result, you today have an eyebrow raised anytime you see a pastor do something, ask for money or ask you to serve in a particular area. You simply have lost the ability to trust spiritual leaders because of previous disappointment and pain. Listen, if any of the things I just described or something even similar to those, if those are true in your life, if they've happened in your life, it is likely that you have bruises. And Jesus came to set at liberty those who are bruised. Today could be a day that God would heal that pain in your life and give you the ability to trust again, to move forward, to have a better outlook for your future. Thus far, we've seen, again, Jesus came to save us, to heal us, to set us free. But please don't miss the final item on this incredible job description. Item number 6, Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So I want to ask, before I close, how many of you would not mind, you could stand to get a little more of God's favor on your life today? Would that be okay? You would say, you know, Ed, I think it would be great if God would just extend to me today encouragement and hope. I'm in a really challenging season, and it would benefit my life today to know that God is for me. I'm convinced that one of the greatest strategies of the enemy is to steal, to rob us of the hope that God wants to present to us. We have one who wants to take from us, another who wants to bless us, and I say, let's go with God. Let's receive the blessing, the favor, the encouragement that comes from our relationship with Him. As a pastor over all these years, I don't know of anything more difficult to see on another person than hopelessness. That's a long word. Hopelessness is often produced by some negative medical report, a marriage or a family crisis, an unexpected career change. There are a number of things that can produce a lack of hope, a loss of hope in our lives. And if today you're someone who is experiencing hopelessness, here's a verse tucked away in Acts chapter 27, verse 20, that may apply to your life today. So context for this, and again, since I'm Professor Ed and I gave you earlier homework assignment, John 17, I want to add one more chapter, and I encourage you to add this to your reading list this week, the entire chapter of Acts 27. This is one of the three shipwrecks that is recorded in the Bible that Paul experienced. I'm thinking Paul probably should have taken a train or a horse or some other mode of transportation, right? Because all these years ago, he was on at least three ships that had pretty terrible outcomes here. And so in this amazing chapter, Acts 27, verse 20, this verse surfaces after a couple of weeks of being in a terrible storm, and the Bible is so clear with details on this that he warned the leaders not to take the boat out, but they did anyway. And so he was out on this sea with terrible storms for a couple of weeks, and there were 276 people on the boat. All of them, according to the Bible, feared for their lives. But we get to verse 20, and it says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. Just think about that phrase. That could be your life today. Sun nor star. There's been, the sun has not broken through in your life in quite a while, and it can lead to hopelessness, to discouragement. It says, and the storm, as if that wasn't bad enough, the storm continued raging. Not just drizzling. We're not talking about light rain here. This was a monster, terrible storm for a couple of weeks. And they're all fearing they're going to die. It ends with this phrase here in verse 20. Finally, we gave up all hope. Listen to me, church. When we give up all hope, the enemy wins. And so you have a choice to make today. In the midst of the storm, you have to do a little bit of what's recorded in this passage. I'm going to remove the need for you to read the chapter because I'm going to give you all the details. But one of the things that they did in order for the ship to pass through this storm is they all went to the underbelly of the ship and they began to throw the absolute non-essentials overboard. That they lightened the load. Could it be that there are activities, there are habits, there are relationships in your life that God is saying, if you'll discard those, I'll get you through this difficult season. I'm telling you, there are choices that we can make that can allow us to pass through what is a very painful season. And I'm not suggesting it'll be easy, but I promise you, at the end of this story, not one of these men lost his life. All of them made it to their destination. The ship was destroyed, but Paul and all of his peers made it through the storm. And you too can make it through your storm. So that may describe your life today. I want to show you one final verse. I'd ask you when I began to mark Jeremiah 29, look with me at a familiar verse, verse 11, and this is where we'll close today. Jeremiah 29, 11. This is a prophetic encouragement to your life today. Here's what God would say. I know the plans I have for you. What an encouraging thing. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan to help you as it continues. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Can I tell you, the enemy wants to harm you. He wants to rob hope from you. He wants to remove from you God's favor. But God is saying, I want to prosper you. Plans to give you what? Hope and a future. I want you to stand with me, and I'm going to pray as we close the service today. I'd love to have maybe some instrumental music behind me, and I'm not going to extend this, but I want to take just a couple of minutes and kind of tie a ribbon on the gift of the message to your life today. And I want to ask that you consider this question: which ministry of Jesus do I need to apply to my life today? And so I want to walk through them again, remind you that I'm going to pray and we'll be done. Do you need to be born again? Do you need to be forgiven of your sin? Do you need to experience salvation? Do you need to invite Christ into your life, forgive your sin, and become your Lord and your Savior? Do you need prayer for a broken heart? And then dovetailing that with item number 5, do you need for God to heal the bruises in your life? Are you in need today of ministry to the broken heart? Do you need emotional healing? Do you need inner healing? It could be that there's been this horrible medical report over your life, or you just have this chronic, ongoing physical issue that you're just somehow enduring. Listen, today could be a day that God would touch and heal your body. Do you need physical healing today? If so, I want to pray for you. Do you need freedom from some bondage or addiction? It could be one of these taboo sins that I referenced. It could be something additional, but you saw what I shared and you hear my story. Could it be that today would be a day of God bringing freedom about in your life by the Holy Spirit being activated? And then finally, do you need God's favor? Do you need God's hope? Do you need God's encouragement on your life today? So I want you to consider that. Now, close your eyes. No one looking around. I'm going to pray. And here's what I want to ask you to do. Again, specifically, as I pray this prayer, I want you to maybe just let me know this before I pray. If today you could say, Ed, I need to apply at least one of the ministries of Jesus to my life. I want to know who I'm praying for. Would you just lift a hand if you would say, I need God's help. I need to apply some of this to my life. Thank you. So many of you lifted hands. A great, great number. You can put those down. Thank you. Now, no one saw your hand but me. Here's what I want to ask you to do. I'm going to pray, and I want to ask you to be brave. I know this might be a little bit out of custom for your church, but if today you lifted a hand, if today you want one of those ministries applied to your life, while I pray, and I'm praying now, while I pray, I want to ask you to make way to the front. Stand right here in front of the altar, and I'm just going to pray over you, and Pastor Brandon will come and close the service. So I'm going to pray. You make your way right here to the altar while I pray for you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, as people make way, and Lord, I thank you that no one will be alone. There were so many hands lifted, Lord, the great majority of the people in the room, and I thank you that we're wanting to respond, Lord. We're wanting to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we just acknowledge that we're in process. Lord, we're at various levels of brokenness. And Lord, we say today, we want to apply all of the ministries of Jesus to our lives. And so I want to pray right now specifically for anyone in the room who has never given his or her life to Christ, whether old or young, churched or unchurched, new to the gathering, whatever it might be. If you've never prayed to receive Christ, just in your heart, ask the Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and change me. Be my Savior, my Lord, my friend. Help me move forward. I want to know you, God, and I pray that you'll change my life by making a difference as I pray today. So, Father, we pray today for anyone who was born again. We bless them and we welcome them to the family here within the gathering and to the body of Christ at large. Father, we pray also for those with broken hearts. God, I think this is one that is just common to so many. There are so many who live with pain in their families, in their work experiences. And Lord, we just pray right now for those with broken hearts. Would you do what you only can do? Heal broken hearts. Lord, I pray for those who came in crushed in spirit today, that, Lord, in spite of the circumstances, somehow by your Holy Spirit, you would minister encouragement and healing and help and rescue them, Lord, from the broken heart that they feel. I pray you would heal broken hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for those who are bruised. They're limping through life because of some trauma, maybe from many years ago. And Lord, somehow they've just made peace to drag that leg around. Lord, you're just hurting emotionally because of something that happened where they were wounded, they were wrong, they were taken advantage of. Lord, I pray today that forgiveness would be extended in that situation. And I pray that they would receive in response, Lord, help and healing emotionally in their lives from the bruise that has existed for so long. Father, we pray for those who need physical healing. Lord, again, we know that you're not nervous in heaven today over any report. We pray right now that physical healing would be extended from heaven to touch men and women, boys and girls, Lord. Medical reports, ailments and illnesses that we've lived with for many, many years, Lord, I pray that we would just believe today that you're touching and healing our bodies. Lord, we pray for physical healing to be expressed to all those who are in need today, Lord. Whether it's a major issue, a minor issue, Lord, the truth is, if it's in our lives, it's major, and we ask you for help. So physically touch and heal us today. I pray that pain would be gone. Lord, these reports that have overwhelmed us, Lord, that our joy would return, our confidence in you would return. We pray for physical healing for those who are in the room today. God, I also want to pray for freedom to come. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you for helping me be an overcomer, not to live the rest of my life angry and violent in rage. Lord, I thank you for what you've done. And I pray, Lord, for those who are here that need freedom. It may not be in the same way. It may not be anger like it was for me. But Lord, for everyone in this room who has believed a lie that they'll always struggle with a particular sin, Lord, we break that lie today in the name of Jesus. We renounce it and we receive the good news that freedom is available. That, Lord, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, we receive your freedom today. We just declare that we will not be victims or live with this mindset any longer, Lord. We today are overcomers in Jesus, and we live a life of freedom, and we do not want to stay in a pattern of pain, Lord. We pray for victory in our lives and freedom to come to men and women alike. And then finally, God, I want to pray for all those who just would love to see your favor, your hope, your encouragement extended to their lives today. Lord, for job interviews, Lord, for promotions at work, for marriages that are in difficulty, Lord, for parent-child relationships that are fractured, Lord, for other relationships that are just not in alignment and not in sync. We pray right now, Lord, for your favor to come on conversations. I pray for your favor and for those who are financially challenged, Lord. We pray for opportunity to advance. We pray, God, for miracles to take place, for your favor, your hope, and your encouragement to come. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just celebrate and thank God for what he's done today? Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.